So 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 12. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us."
Thanks very much. Let's just pray as we come to God's word. Peter writes these words, "All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever." Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that in the Bible we have your living and enduring word, your eternal word, which is always true, the message that you have to speak to us. So we ask and pray that you would give us ears to hear your word and that we might respond with faith and obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, why does the church matter? Why does the church matter? I hope you've gathered from everything that's been said this evening that the FIEC is all about church. It's all about supporting churches. It's all about supporting local churches. But why does the church matter so much? Maybe you're somebody who's new as a student, perhaps, to Birmingham. Maybe you're coming along and you're kind of trying to find a church. But perhaps at the same time you're wondering, why bother with church? Maybe you're thinking, I've got a Christian Union group. I've got Christians who meet together every week in my hall. Why do I need to bother with a church as well? Why bother with church? Or maybe you're somebody who goes along to a church. I don't know how regularly you go, but maybe you go because as a Christian you think you ought to. But actually you're not really committed to church. It's not a priority in your life. It's not a priority in your diary. It's not a priority in the way that you use your bank book. Church is okay, but it's actually not that important or significant to me. After all, isn't it my personal relationship with the Lord Jesus that's most important? I read my Bible every day, I pray every day, I walk with the Lord. Why do I need church? Or maybe you're somebody who has had a bad experience of church in the past. Maybe you've been involved in a church, but you've become hurt. Maybe church didn't live up to your expectations. Maybe you weren't cared for in the way that you expected. Maybe you weren't loved by people in the church. Maybe you weren't accepted. Maybe you felt that the church was hypocritical. And so you've got a distant relationship with church. Why is church important? Why does it matter? Well, I think this passage reminds us that church is vital because church is the way that God is working in the world. Church is the way that God is working in the world. It's through the church that God accomplishes his purposes for his world. And I think we just see two simple things in this passage that remind us of why church is so important. And the first thing we see is this: God is building his church. God is building his church. And that's really verses 4 to 8 of our passage in 1 Peter chapter 2. What we see in these verses is that God is involved in a great building project. You can probably look back to the Olympics this summer and you can remember the Olympic Stadium and the various venues for the kind of the swimming and the cycling. For years, there was an absolutely massive building project in East London to pull the Olympics together. Everybody doubted it would be possible to be completed in time, but in the end, it was a glorious triumph. But the building of the Olympic venues is as nothing compared to God's great building project. God is building his temple, which is a picture of the church. A temple is a building in which God dwells, the place where he comes and his presence is to be found. A temple is the place where God is worshipped, where his people come together to meet with him and praise him and worship him and offer themselves to him. And a temple is a place where God is glorified in the eyes of the world, as the world looks on and sees God's glory. And God is in the business of building a worldwide temple. In fact, God, the Bible tells us, has always been in the business of building temples. If you read the Old Testament, God called his people to build the temple, the physical building in Jerusalem. Much of the Old Testament is taken up with describing first the tabernacle, which was a portable temple, and then the physical temple in Jerusalem. You can still see the foundation stones there if you go to Jerusalem with the Wailing Wall. It's the foundation of the temple. And God is again involved in a great building project. But Peter tells us the difference here is that this temple is not being built out of stones, but it's being built out of people. You see, the temple that God is constructing is made from people. This is a picture of his church. God's great purpose in history is to gather his people to himself. And he is doing it by building his church, his temple. Do you notice that Peter tells us here that this building, this temple, is being built out of what he describes as living stones. And what he means by that is people who have been brought to new birth and to new life by Jesus. The people that Peter was writing to, these Christians almost 2,000 years ago, were people who had experienced that. Way back in chapter 1 and verse 3, of 1 Peter, he writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." This temple, this picture of the church, is being built from people coming to new spiritual life in Jesus as they put their faith and their trust in him. And this temple is being built from people all around the world. The old temple was a temple for the Jewish people. But this temple is a temple that is made of people from every race, every nation, every culture. Peter gives us a flavor of that right at the beginning of the letter where he says that these Christians are God's elect, that's God's people. People who come and are scattered through the Roman provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Part of the ancient world, but they were people from all of those different places, a variety of different cultures, but all had come to new birth in Jesus and so had been built into his temple. And you notice this temple that is built from people is built on the Lord Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus who is the foundation of this building. He's described in this passage as the capstone or the cornerstone. The cornerstone in a building in the ancient world was the first stone to be laid. And from the cornerstone, the whole building would take its shape. So the cornerstone set the angles of the whole rest of the building. If the cornerstone was right, the rest of the building would have the right shape. If the cornerstone was out, the whole building would be a disaster. And what Peter is saying here is that this temple that God is building, this temple of people, is built on the Lord Jesus. Because you see, he supremely is the living stone. He is the one who was rejected by men. He is the one who was crucified and put to death. And he is the one who was brought to new life through the resurrection. He is the original living stone. And those who come to faith in him and come to new life in him are joined into the building. So here is God's great work in the world. This is what God is doing. God is accomplishing his purpose by building his church, by building the temple, which is made of people who've come to new spiritual life. And actually, by far the most important question for each and every one of us this evening is not, do you like the FIEC? Are you enthusiastic about the FIEC? Are you going to support the FIEC? By far the most important question for every one of us is, are you part of the church? Are you personally part of this building? Are you a living stone that's been built on Christ, the cornerstone? I said a little bit earlier that I'm now middle-aged. This will show that I'm middle-aged. About 30 years ago, some of you might have heard a song by Pink Floyd called The Wall. Anybody remember that? Any sense for anything? I mean, you know, students, you may be thinking, we don't need no education. It's got that kind of line in it, sort of, all in all, I'm just another brick in the wall. And actually, that's rather dismissive. But actually, from the perspective of the Bible, the one thing you need to be is another brick in the wall. That is what you most need, is to be a living stone built into the temple that God is building. So are you a living stone? Are you someone who's come and put your faith in Christ because you've recognized that he is God's king? Because you've recognized that he alone is the one who's able to forgive you? He alone is the one who is able to give you eternal life that lasts beyond death. And have you been built into the temple? Are you part of God's great building project? And if you are, if you've been built into the temple, oughtn't you to belong to the temple? Oughtn't you to belong to a local church, which is an expression of this temple that God is building? You see, as a Christian, you're never on your own. There's no such thing as an individual Christian. You're built into the building. You're put together with others. You become part of a community. So you need to be part of a local church. And I would say even more than that, local churches need to be partners with each other. Because the temple is not just one individual church. God's temple is not City Church. God's temple is not Moneyhole Church. God's temple is not Oak Tree Church. God's temple is his church as a whole. And surely that means we must work together because we're built together. And in fact, if you're not part of the church, if you're not playing your part, then in effect you are not treating Jesus as the precious cornerstone that he is. See, God has made Jesus the precious cornerstone of a big building. And if you're not part of the local church, if your local church is not playing its part as part of the wider church, then in the end we are not treating Jesus as the precious cornerstone that God has made him to be. So are you playing your part as part of the building? And if you're looking for a local church, maybe if you're considering moving church and you're kind of just wondering, do you want to stay where you are? The most important thing to ask about the church that you're considering is it built on Jesus? That's the most important thing. Is it built on Jesus as the cornerstone? It doesn't really matter in a sense how wonderful the music is. It doesn't matter what the quality of the coffee is afterwards. Doesn't matter what the age of the people might be. The question is it built on Jesus? Is he the center of everything in the life of the church? And don't move from a church which has Jesus at the center. Instead, stay and build it, because it's being built on the right foundation. So God is building his church. And then remarkably and secondly, God is building his church through us. God is building his church through us. If we become living stones, we're not just passive bits of the building. Verses 9 to 12 of this passage tell us that God remarkably has made us his co-workers through whom this building is going to be built. If we're living stones, then within the building we are to serve as royal priests. That's what we read in verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. God has built us into the building as living stones, but he's given us a job to do. He's called us to be a royal priesthood and a holy nation. In fact, that's Old Testament language. That's what God said of his people Israel when he gave them the law at Mount Sinai. And now Christians are fulfilling what God said of his people Israel. We're the reality. We're the real thing. And so what does it mean then to be a priest? Well, a priest is to be a mediator. The job of priests is to stand between God and those people who are distant from God so that they can be brought together. And that's what God calls us to do. He calls us to be priests who will stand between God and a lost world and bring the good news of God to that lost world. That's what it means to be a priest, and that is our job individually, our job collectively as churches. And we read here that we do it in two ways. There are two ways that we fulfill our function as priests. Firstly, we declare to others the good news of the gospel. We declare the good news of the gospel. That's what Peter says in verse 9 when he says that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. As Christians, we are called to declare the amazing way that God has had mercy on us, even though we didn't deserve it. Look at verse 10. You were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We are called to be declaring the amazing mercy that we received from God. That is declaring his praises. It's declaring the gospel. And Peter here isn't talking about just coming to church and singing to each other. This is something we're called to do out there in the world, declaring the praises of God. I wonder whether you're going to do that at work or at university or at school tomorrow. As you talk to people, are you going to declare the praises of God? Are you going to speak of the mercy that you've received? That's as priests what we're called to do. But secondly, we're to demonstrate the effects of the gospel in our lives. To demonstrate the effects of the gospel in our lives. And that's really verses 11 and 12. As we live our lives out amongst pagans, those who don't believe, those who haven't yet become living stones, we're to live good lives as we live under the lordship of Jesus and seek to obey him. And others around us should see the difference that the gospel makes. In a sense, that's probably what it means to be a holy nation. We're to be those who are set apart for God. We're those who to be different because we're living for God. And others should see it. Peter says that Christians that he's writing to should do that in their relationship as citizens, in relation to their government, as slaves, in relation to their owners, as spouses, in relation to their partners. We might add, in our cultural context, we should do that as employees in relation to our job. We should do it as students, in relation to other students and our teachers. We should do it in relation to the teammates that we play with. We should do it in relationship to the friends that we have. Demonstrate the effects of the gospel. So God is building his church through us. He's made us his priests, and this is how we do it. We declare the good news of the gospel, and we demonstrate the effects of the gospel. And as we do that, others, as they hear the good news, as they see that it's true, they too will come to be living stones, born again and built into the building. If we're going to be faithful in doing that, there are at least two things we need to do. Verse 11, we need to wage war on our sinful desires. This is going to be a struggle. We're involved in a spiritual battle. Each and every one of us, even though we've become living stones, still struggles against sin, the desire to disobey God and do our own thing. Oh, we've got to wage war against ourselves so that we can live this life. And we need to be prepared to suffer. Because look at what Peter says in verse 12. Live good lives amongst the pagans so that they're going to really honour you and think you're really respectable. Now, that's not what Peter says. He says, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Peter in his letter tells us that if we walk the way of Jesus, we will suffer. We will be wrongly accused. We will be persecuted. But yet even through that, others will see that God is at work. So you've got to fight sin, and you've got to be willing to suffer to serve God as his priest. So why is the church so important? Because it's the way that God is accomplishing his purpose in the world. God is building his church. And the book of Revelation ends with the vision of God's work completed. A great multitude gathered that cannot be numbered from every nation who are worshipping and serving Jesus the King. And remarkably, we are those that God has made his co-workers. He is building his church. He's building his temple through us. That's why church matters. That's why we need to be committed to church. That's why FIEC matters. Because it's just a vehicle for supporting that great work of building the church, which is God's work in his world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for the vision that Peter gives these Christians of your work of building your temple. We want to thank you and praise you that as the gospel is preached, as the power of the gospel is demonstrated by changed lives, so people become living stones, born again, and built into this temple that you are constructing. Father, please help us to care about the church as much as you do. Please help us to serve faithfully as we join with you in building your church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.